Hey, Sports Talk Garage, this is Matt. Guys, you need to take a close look in the mirror at your nose and ears. There's some weird hairs growing there, and you probably haven't noticed, but your lady certainly has. Guys, did you know that 79% of partners polled admit that long nose hair is a major turnoff? Manscaped has just released the Weed Whacker to handle that situation for you. Let's be honest, yanking them out with your fingers can hurt worse than nicking the boys. Ladies, if you're listening in, this is just a product needed to take care of those unsightly hairs and makes a great gift, whether you're trying to tell them in a straight out fashion or just for a random gift that you love them. It has a 9,000 RPM rotary dual blade system to fix all of those hairs needing to go away quickly. Same as the mower 3.0, it's rechargeable and waterproof. Get 20% off plus free shipping using the code podcast20 at manscaped.com.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we discuss and debate the latest news and hot takes from the court and the ball fields to the locker room and front office. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those oversized contracts, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 44 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. I'm your host, John, and here, as always, with my buddies, Matt and David. How's it going tonight, guys?
Happy to be back for another week of sports to chat about, to get a little break from the craziness of life, and just hang out for
Matt,
a minute.
How about you?
Hey, man. I don't know about you guys, but feels a little bit like Smash Mouth when we just talk about it's a hot one, like 7 inches from the midday sun, brother. It's another strong week up in the Midwest when it comes to the heat level. So, you know, it's been one of those ones, been waiting on it forever, but, you know, thank God for air conditioning, because sweet relief when you get to come inside for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's throw the green flag, and speaking of hot things that are hot, let's talk about hot off the press. Patrick Mahomes gets a monster freaking contract today. Adam Schefter reporting $503 million. Yeah, you heard that correct, 503.
Could you say that again?
503, man. In case you missed that, ooh, $1 million, making him the highest grossing NFL player. It's a 10-year contract, reportedly over $400 million or some type of $400 million something or another is guaranteed. We don't quite have the specifics on the exact guarantee, but we know it's worth at least $400 million. No trade clause, and Mahomes has an opt-out. So, David, what was your initial first impressions when this dropped?
So I was actually shocked that they got this done right now. But I mean, it's good. I definitely did not expect it to be nearly this large. I mean, it blew out any other contract of its proportion for NFL players. It's the largest in sports history. It's the first time an NFL player has been the highest paid athlete in any sport in the world, which is crazy. Yeah, numbers are still coming in, so everything has not been released. But yeah, above $400 million guaranteed. Even the injury guarantee is $141.48 million. Most guys don't even get contracts worth that. That's just for his injury. Another thing that's a little crazy is, you know, most contracts you see in the NFL today are anywhere from 3 to 5 years, and this doubled that to 10. I mean, he's essentially married to Kansas City because he still has 2 years left on his rookie deal with that fifth-year option they picked up. So through 2031, he's going to be in a Chiefs uniform. I got to say, though, some other quarterbacks are probably really happy about this, knowing their payday is coming. It might not be as large, but it's going to be bigger than what it should be.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely going to have a trickle-down effect for the entire market. You know, just a week or so ago, we were talking about Prescott and, you know, signing the tender, and, you know, is he gambling on somebody else making a big move, and how would that impact him? And I mean, I guess we got our answer a lot sooner than I think we thought, but I mean, we all thought it was crazy when the Raiders gave the coach $10 million. I mean, or sorry, 10 years and $100 million. And now we're talking players getting 10 years, $500 million. I don't know, guys. I think things are getting a little absurd to me. I mean, the guy has some significant talent, but I mean, you're basically betting on this guy to be a Tom Brady who's just going to play and play and play and play and play. And the other issue is not even just that. Let's throw out the 10-year thing, the money. I mean, you've got a bunch of young guys on that core. You want to keep that core together. How are you going to be able to afford? I mean, I hope that they have this thing structured in some wickedly fancy way because I don't know how you're going to pay, you know, your buddies that are actually going to protect you and catch the dang ball.
Yeah, hopefully there's a lot of bonuses looking there for being on the roster every year because they're not cutting him. All sorts of guarantees of like, oh yeah, you reach AFC game, we'll give you $1 million or so. There's got to be some of that built in because if it's all base salary, there's no way they can re-sign one of the guys to protect him to keep him up standing up, but he needs people to throw to. And as you said, they're young. They're going to be coming up for paydays in the next couple of years. So the money's got to be spread around to keep a nucleus together so they can actually compete on
I
a
feel
yearly
like they
basis.
are on like a we have to win now, absolute trajectory. We got to maximize this. And then it's like, I have a feeling, you know, at some point they're going to have to go through that lull where they've got to, you know, handle the salary cap and, you know, rebuild essentially. And then they're hoping that on the tail end of that, that he still has the talent and the willpower and, you know, injury free to do maybe a second run down the road, you know, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, something like that. I don't know. It just seems a little absurd to me, the 10-year mark. I mean, even if you love the guy, that's the thing though. I don't know if he, I wonder if he was demanding that or if that's what they offered. I don't know. Because I feel like even if you give a guy 5 years, I mean, if you have a strong relationship, especially a quarterback, you know, of all the positions, a quarterback has probably the biggest unity with the city that he plays in, as long as he's playing well, you know. And you know, you think, you know, go franchise by franchise by franchise, and except for maybe like the Bears and a few others, you can generally think of the guy, you know, even non-sports fans can usually name the quarterback in any sports team or any sports city out there. So even if you give the guy 5 years, chances are he's going to want to re-sign with you and continue to play for this. I don't get the 10-year mark. It seems like I don't know if they've got something really, you know, fancy in the wording and they just wanted to go for a big splashdown, or what. It'd be really interesting when all the details get leaked out, but I don't know. Matt, what do you think about this?
Can we talk about timing real quick? We're in a season right now with the virus that we've talked about where we've barely been able to see sports. NFL's the only one other than maybe NASCAR actually making splashes inside of sports news right now. And then we get this giant napalm bomb dropped all over Kansas City. You're talking about locking a guy in at $10 million signing bonus with a base salary of $825,000 this year alone. David, what was the number for next year? 103?
So next year and in the fifth year option is 24.8 million since they picked
Great.
it up. But yeah, I think there's a total of like 103 combined with
Everything.
the bonuses and everything from this one next
Right.
March.
So does anybody else see a problem with the fact that Kansas City that may or may not have a football season this year? I mean, everything's up in the air, right? I'm just kind of throwing out what ifs, but giant what ifs. Like there already talks about players from major cities that like Miami or New York are being sent home because of all the cases that are popping up around the city and they don't want their athletes catching it. So right now you're potentially paying him over 10, almost called $11 million just to come work out because they may not be able to get all their sponsorship deals if they can't play those games. So then what? I'm just curious about the timing. So if you go past that, I agree. A 10-year mark on a quarterback, I mean, one of the longest standing ones is Tom Brady at 20 years. You know, now he supposedly is revived because he's down at Tampa Bay. You know, I don't know. But 10-year contract, you know, and there's salary caps that you're chewing up on this. You're betting the farm on the quarterback, which now you're going to have to do a lot to keep your linemen up on and make them happy. I don't know, man. That's a heck of a gamble, no matter how you swing this.
The thing is too, like I think he it always goes in that cylindrical cycle there of like the next guy up is as long as you're performing well, your team's gotta top, whoever the highest pay was, and we just keep going through a cycle. I mean, I remember it wasn't that long ago that we were talking, $80 million contracts were crazy high, and now look where we are now. It's just things are seem to be getting a little absurd. But again, I think you could have easily made him the highest paid quarterback or even the highest paid NFL player and still saved yourself a lot of money here. I don't get it. And Matt, I think you have a great point on the timing. I mean, who knows if we're gonna play, what's gonna happen. I know they're gonna plan to, but I mean, baseball says they're gonna play. I'm not convinced. More and more players are starting to test positive. Even my couple guys in my Sox tested positive this week. You got MLS players, you got NBA players saying they're not willing to fly to Miami or to Orlando now because of the risk of catching it. You got popular star baseball players that are saying, "Hey, I'm sitting out the whole season." I don't know. This it, given that he wasn't in a contract year either, I feel like it just seems a little odd to me with all this going on, but. I don't know. And then the optics too, like I don't know if they're gonna get any hate on this, but I've seen in other places, so it makes me wonder, like the whole, hey, there's people, 30%, 20% of our country is unemployed right now, and then we're
Thank you.
dropping news
There's
about
another one.
$503 million. Like
Yeah.
I don't particularly like the timing or the optics of it either. But that's whatever they make of it. But I imagine there's a lot of people in Kansas City that are both happy about this, that they're locking in a guy who can bring him back to the promised land, but at the same time are like, that's insanely absurd money when I'm sitting here hoping that I get another stimulus check from the government just to pay to keep the lights on, I don't know, things are getting a little crazy. But so let's move on to the other side of football, college football. Another quarterback, just in a different realm. So Caleb Williams, number one dual threat quarterback in 2021, has committed to Oklahoma. Matt, what are you thinking about this? It seems like Oklahoma's got something brewing here. They just keep producing quarterbacks, and they got another
Well,
thing going.
they seem to be producing quarterbacks. I think it's going to be a little different because now you have them going into these dual threat quarterbacks. I mean, let's be honest, over the past several years, we've seen more and more and more of these types of quarterbacks pop up. Over time, they're becoming much more effective inside of offenses. So we've gone from running the power eye to running a spread offense, maybe with a single back for an extra protection slash receiving back. And I still think that the most dynamic offense that I've seen in the last, let's call it 5 to 10 years, was last year with Baltimore running Lamar, RG3, and the running back, where it happened to be in at the time. I think it was Ingram, but being able to just kind of run a full house offense off of that. So if you can start them at the college realm that way, which I think this guy was number 15 overall for the top 300 in ESPN, it's quite the legacy for them to start. I think it just kind of depends on where you want your career to go, because I feel like Oklahoma's kind of under the light right now based on a lot of other things that are not positive. So if you take a look at this quarterback situation now, I'm kind of curious as to what made him sign over. I believe LSU was the other major contender on his list that has a national championship and is probably only going to grow from here and bring a lot of power back to the SEC.
Yeah, the decision's interesting. I don't know, David, what do you think about the Oklahoma piece of this, and why not LSU or somewhere else?
So he's from DC. Maryland actually had a decent chance to get him, but I mean, he went with two words, Lincoln Riley. He and his staff have become kind of the quarterback gurus of the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, they had Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. All have done well. Two won the Heisman. Those same two were selected number one in the NFL draft. Granted, he could probably go to LSU, Alabama, and make it to the NFL draft. But once you have that pedigree that they've been building, why would you not bet on yourself and go there? And obviously NFL is in his sights. He's 6'2", 210, so he's a decent size. He'll get some weight on him once he gets in the weight room, and he'll be stocked. I think it's really good. He's the third highest ranked commit that Oklahoma has had in their history. I watched a little bit of footage on him earlier today, and he's a great pocket passer, but he can also get down and run. And as Matt said, you know, that's kind of the way the game has evolved over the last decade, where we're not just running the ball up the middle. We're not just passing it. You want these versatile quarterbacks who are able to make the secondary kind of guess what they're going to do instead of just dropping back for a 5-step pass every
time. I might be a little crazy here, so feel free to tell me I am, but do you think there's any you think there's any piece of this equation here where he feels like Oklahoma is the safer option? I mean, when you look at pressure to perform, LSU or Oklahoma,
definitely.
While Oklahoma is expected to have a good team, I don't feel like those two don't, in my mind, don't appear to be apples to, you know, it's not an apples to apples comparison when it comes to must win now, must perform well for the boosters, you know, must perform well on national television week in, week out. I don't know. There's certainly, I don't know if I'm crazy in spinning that, but I wonder if that had any impact to that, if he kind of wanted to ease his way into to the pressure situation.
Yeah, I mean, but those fan bases, it feels like Oklahoma, I mean, yeah, you want them to win, but if they don't win a game, they're going to survive. But with LSU and Alabama, it's like you have to go undefeated every season or else it's not
right,
a success.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, less pressure. Maryland would have been way less pressure, way less time on TV, lesser opponents to prove himself again. So Oklahoma's it's a safe bet while still getting his name out there and showing what he can do.
All right, so on that note, let's throw the yellow flag. Thank our sponsors who helped put the show on and keep it on the road. And we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 44 of the Sports Talk Garage podcast. Just got done talking about one monstrous quarterback contract and one dual-threat quarterback coming into the college game and making a big splash. So a lot of football and specifically quarterback news coming out in the last day or so in the world of sports. Moving on to sticking to the football theme, but heading back to the NFL. Right now, the Washington Redskins are once again, for I feel like the 100th time now, find themselves in the crosshairs of a name change. Now we have minority owners that are calling for a name change as well. They want out, so there's no name change. FedEx, who pays a ridiculous amount of money to have the naming rights to that stadium there, is saying they want a name change. And I'm sure that there's something in their contract saying that, you know, if they feel ethically not happy with a situation, they could potentially pull out. So I think the pressure is absolutely on them to potentially come up with something here. You know, guys, in the world that we're in right now with everything going on, do you agree, disagree? You know, do you want to keep it old school? Do you think it's time to make a change?
Real quick, let's talk about the history here. So basically, originally this team was the Braves. So after 1 year, the franchise was renamed to the Redskins in 1933, which was 4 years before the team moved from Boston to Washington. The reason for the change was because Boston's new coach, Lone Star Dietz, and several of his Native American players disliked the name Braves and lobbied for the team to change its name to the Redskins. And they've kept that name until now. So, interesting history on how that came across, because this team in particular, I feel, has had one of the longest standing arguments over their team name, mascot, whatever. And when are they going to change it? And is it fair? You know, I don't know. I mean, this gets into a much deeper topic. I think this is one of those things, like, if our Native Americans are not happy with this or don't want it, then that's honestly who should be listened to, because I have a feeling that they get some kind of payout of this to keep the name. Everything's incorporated at this point anyway, right?
There are certainly other organizations out there that have names that refer to Native Americans. Just really quickly or off the top of my head, I mean, you've got Indians, you got the Braves, you got the Chicago Blackhawks. One of the big things for me, living in Chicago was Chicago made a point of making sure that they had and always continue to have the blessing of any of the local Native American tribes in the state of Illinois to continue to use that name. And they incorporate them. They bring them out as far as, their pregame anthem stuff. They routinely do tributes and honor the Native American tribes in that area. They work hand in hand with charities to give money to those groups of people. So I think they have that blessing from the people that really matter. And that's the really difference here, in my personal opinion. On the Redskins side of things, if you've got groups that say, listen, we find this name to be derogatory and insulting, and it's you're representing us, then yeah, I mean, again, I agree with the history of it, and I feel like right now we're in a dangerous precedent where it's like we're just trying to wipe out history. And there's been many people that are a lot smarter than me that have said, if you're not paying attention to history, you're bound to repeat yourself. So I'm not in agreement that we should be erasing history. We should understand it and learn from it and make sure and we vow to never make those horrific mistakes again. But maybe this if those people are calling for a change and you represent your name represents them, then maybe it's time to listen. I don't know.
One thing that you really said that is key is the way that the Blackhawks do it, how they make sure they have the blessing of the local Native Americans in the area. They incorporate them into pregame, postgame traditions, work with charities to support them. I don't know if the Redskins do. Knowing Dan Snyder's history, I would kind of be surprised if they did.
I would be
But
too.
I mean, he's on the team since 1999. It seems like this is a yearly question that's brought up. Is it time for them to change their name? And every year it comes up and it goes away. But just the times that we're living in, it feels like it actually could happen. Nike even took all Redskins, apparel off their website. I don't know if it's back on, but it's been off for about a week now. And I think that's the one thing that's really going to cause this to possibly go is when, it's going to hit his wallet. The minority owners want to get out because they don't agree with him. FedEx, which, holds the naming rights to their stadium, has put some pressure on him, as well as Nike and some other smaller companies. But when he starts seeing those sponsorship dollars
Oh,
disappear, I think
not just
it's
small companies. Walmart and Target pulled all the merch.
I mean, they
That's a big deal.
so I think that's one area that's really going to get Dan Snyder to realize, okay, maybe this is offending people, but I don't know. It is dangerous when you think of, do I have a right to say they should change their name or not? I'm not Native American, so I would think that Native Americans probably should have a voice in this, and if it is offensive to them, yeah, it's probably time to change the name. So it's really tough because even Terry Francona of the Indians said he would be for changing the Cleveland Indians name, which has a very long history as well. I mean, if we do it for one team, do we do it for every team that has a similar name to a Native American group here in the United States? Or do we just do it for one and that's okay? Where do we stop?
Right, did Kansas City do a name change here real quick while everybody else is?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it really depends on the relationship of that team with the local tribes there that they represent in that area. And again, I think if you have their blessing and their support of you, and you are using your platform to honor those people. And to hopefully enrich their lives through charitable work and monetary donations and things like that, then I think that's fine. So I think if they change the name and it's something that everybody can appreciate, or even if they change it to something that honors Native Americans and really get the blessing of it, he's going to make up all that money and merchandise sales and everything else that comes with it.
Obviously, with the local media talking about it probably every day, all the players are going to hear about it, and he doesn't want them getting distracted from what they need to learn and do on the field. So I agree with that. No matter what decisions made, get it done before the season starts so the players can focus on the game and not have all this outside noise, on something they have no control over.
I think too, I think it's an excellent point. And you don't even have to have a new name or new logo, I don't think, by the start of the season.
Let's
Just
make it a
announce
season.
that you are committed to making the change and that, you know, you're forming a committee, you know, the classic, I've got a committee here and we are going to, over the course of this season, come up with a name that represents the city and the people of Washington, D.C., and that, you know, we're committed by the 2021 season, we will have a new name. And then bam, it's no long it's a, now it's a positive storyline, and it's not something that's going to continue to be talked about throughout the season. It'll kind of have its moment in time and then drift off until at least the off season, when people will expect an announcement, but it won't be that distraction that, you know, is likely to be throughout the season. Moving on to some positive things in the world of sports. Joey Chestnut, man, 13th. Nathan's hot dog titles. Did he break, remind me, did he break his own record again?
He did break his own record, but from I think 2 years ago when he ate 74 hot dogs, he put down 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes, even when he was slowing down in the last minute and 20 seconds.
Makes my stomach hurt, literally just thinking about it. But I mean, talk about it. I don't know, like, how many people are dying to get into the competitive eating game, but I mean, I know it is a competitive world, you know, from people all over the world that are getting into this, and that challenge him. And I don't know. I mean, David, how does he compare with other quote unquote sports athletes and dominance?
So, here in the United States, we love our competition. We love our rankings and who's the best at this, who can outdo the other person. He's been ranked number one in the world for a few years now. And in fact, he holds 54 records for the most food or different types of food he's eaten of a certain pound, a certain number, and a certain time frame. 54 different foods, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's unbelievable. And granted, it's not 503 million. You win $10,000 for winning this contest. But throughout all the contests he's done, he's made about $1.5 million. So it's not too shabby of a life for him. I'm sure he throws up a lot. But I mean, some of the things like tacos and eggs, donuts, apple pies, Twinkies, shrimp wontons, salt potatoes, waffles, and the list just goes on. I mean, he just trains year round for this. I mean, it's what he's known for. So I was watching this on July 4th, and I was fascinated by it. My wife was like, "This is so disgusting. Why is he doing this? He looks like he's going to throw up." I was like, "Yeah, but I mean, it's American tradition. I don't know why, other than Nathan just wanted to sell hot dogs back in the early 1900s." But one thing that just really stands out is he ate his 1,000th hot dog in this contest. The person who was second all time just finished their number 200. So I mean, he's
Jeez.
completely blown out the competition. He's kind of an anomaly in the world of competitive eating here. We have 13 titles in this, and he said he's coming back next year. Defend his tech crown.
One point, I mean, I hope he's got good insurance, because I felt like, you know, the prize money that he's winning from this, at some point, I feel like it's going to go back towards medical bills.
Down the road,
You know, I can't.
diabetes.
I mean, but the thing is, he's pretty skinny and stuff, so it just, but it can't be naturally able to, you know, stretch your stomach like that. That's gotta not have great long-term effects, I would think, to your
I'm sure.
body. But I mean, when you talk about, you know, other people that, you know, have amazing records to themselves, you know, in the world of sports. First off, I mean, does anyone consider competitive eating a sport? I mean, it requires year-round training,
It's
but
COVID friendly.
It is COVID friendly. They had masks on. Obviously, when they weren't eating, they took them off. But I mean, I feel like the definition of sport here is used very loosely if we're going to count this. But I mean, it's a competition. There's prize money. It's something for winning. So it loosely fits there, not the traditional sense of the word.
So you're not like saying that he's on the same level as, you know, Michael Phelps's 20
Gosh,
something gold medals.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, yeah, when you look at titles, he owns the food title, the whole category of food that belongs to him. When you think about it compared to other guys, I mean, I think Michael Phelps might be the only person who really outdoes him. We have 28 medals in the Olympics, 23 are gold. I think that's kind of like, no pun intended here, the gold standard of winning. Go to the NBA. Bill Russell has 11 titles. The NHL, Henry Rickard has 11 with the Montreal Canadiens. Yogi Berra, 10 with the Yankees, and four NFL players have 6 rings. So, granted, it's harder to win an NFL championship than it is just to eat a bunch of food in 10 minutes. But, I mean, 13 titles is nothing to laugh at.
I don't know, man. I'm laughing a little bit. But, geez. Yeah, I mean, good for him. This is American for you. I mean, I don't know why we do half the things we do, but
I can't imagine somebody from another country tuning in or happy to stumble upon this while it's going on, wondering what are they doing? What do they do in America? Why do they do this stuff?
Yeah, I've learned from my time in the world of Formula One Twitter that there's a lot of things that we Americans do that confuse our international brothers and sisters.
Anything for competition in the United States, I think it draws people in because we want to see somebody win at whatever it is.
Especially right now, you know, when competition's at a lull, you've basically got racing and a little bit of international football, but that's about it for the world of sports right now. Yeah. All right, guys.
I've got a weird one for you before we go. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors championship.
No.
Apparently this has been going for quite a while, and just to put hot dogging in its place, the U.S. champion wins $50,000 in the national competition. Japan does it with a cosplay event, and U.K. conducts one at the same time. I mean, this is just... So apparently there's some really odd championships out there that we don't know about that people are very proud to practice over and make probably some side cash.
There's probably some things we can't talk about on this podcast. But sure,
there's a few.
Maybe some adult-related competitions that I'm sure there's out there. But sure,
there's plenty of those that exist around the world.
Geez. Well, yeah. I feel like it takes more skill to throw down 75 hot dogs than it does to win rock, paper, scissors. But... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. If you're a rock, paper, scissors champion and you're listening to this show,
congratulations.
Congrats, and feel free to send any tips and tricks our way to explain your training process. But anyways.
Well, I will say this. At least rock, paper, scissors doesn't include needing to have your stomach pumped.
That's true.
You're not going to feel that.
It seems like a healthier option of your time. So.
True.
On that note, all right, guys, let's throw the checkered flag. Dave, any final thoughts this week?
And to be honest, I haven't really thought much past tomorrow for this week. It'll be nice to get to this weekend, have a nice relaxing weekend, don't have any plans for the first time in a while, which I'm a little excited about. So just looking forward to Saturday and Sunday.
Matt, what about you?
Hey, man, it's hot up here. So frankly, most people are just kind of staying in, relaxing. I know football's getting ready to kind of start up a little bit up here with workouts have been going on. Now my younger guys are getting ready to fire up. So it's going to be pretty exciting. But, I think the goal for this week is just kind of keep it cool. If you can find a pool to be in it, or a pond up here, I guess. But, yeah, that's probably the biggest things going on around here.
Yeah, at least for me, I've got the world of F1 finally kicked off this last weekend, and that was insanity. To say the least, on Sunday, and then we're right back at it, same track this coming Sunday. So that's it's supposed to be an 80% chance of rain too, so that could be quite an interesting day. So looking forward to that. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me in the world of sports. But all right, guys, well, let's call tonight. Again, thanks for listening, thanks for tuning in, we appreciate it. Again, as always, please feel free to DM us with your questions, feedback. Hit that subscribe button. We appreciate any of your 5-star reviews. It really means a lot just to, keep the spirits high and keep the show growing and help spreading the word. So we appreciate all that you guys do as our listeners. But, on that note, we'll call it a night. And I hope you gents have a good night.
Later, guys.
Later.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.